Hello, my precious friend. This is Pastor Verna Brown, and I am so excited that you have chosen to join us by podcast today. I pray that this message is inspiring, it's encouraging, and that it propels you further into the destiny that God has for you. Sit back and enjoy. All right. Well, on my birthday, last month, I woke up in the morning and the Lord said this to my spirit: it's your breakthrough season. Woo! And he wasn't just talking to me because I was writing for you. And he gave me the title. So I want you to just say it with me like you believe it. Come on, say, it's my breakthrough season. See, to break through indicates there's something trying to hold you back. How many of you have felt like there's something that has tried to hold you back? Amen. And we get breakthrough in certain areas. But I know I heard from the Lord, and he gave me that scripture: for with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. And the Lord told me this. He said, tell them not to be discouraged or distracted. Tell them to stay focused and press through. You know, Paul said, I press toward the goal. Many of you got goals, but the enemy's going to try to wear you out. And the Lord said specifically, your breakthrough season isn't coming, it's here. And he said, those that spoke against you and thought what you were going through would bury you didn't realize that you were full of the seed of my word. They will have a front row seat and watch how I dump my uncommon favor and blessings upon you as you break through this challenging season. No doubter or hater can destroy your dream. You need to shut their voices out and believe me. I spoke, and that's all that matters. It's settled. I will fulfill every promise to you as you stay in faith. He said, so much blessing is coming out of this challenging season because you kept sowing your battle seeds, Mama, declaring my word and believing for your breakthrough. Some of you forcefully said, there's nothing too hard for God. And even when you couldn't forcefully say it, you still believed it. You fought in faith and you didn't quit. And God says, I'm going to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you ever thought, asked, or dreamt. I'm turning everything around for your good. I've already worked it out for you because I am the God of goodness and justice. No need to stress or worry. Just continue to worship and declare the release of your promise and miracle. Trust me, I'm here for you right now. And I'm going to cause the dream I put inside of you to come to pass. Heaven's angels have been dispatched. They're working on your behalf. And you will prevail because you have divine guidance and strategy like never before. The enemy tried to bring confusion, but I gave you clarity and strategy because you sought my face. I'm avenging you and will overwhelm you with my goodness again and again. It is your breakthrough season. Come on, give him praise for that. You better just receive that. We heard today that the Pastor Cheyenne from down south won a tremendous victory in the courts. He had to go up to the higher courts. Our state government brought charges against the church. They were being fined thousands of dollars. They were told they could not have home groups. If you attended a home group, you would be fined $1,000 for attending a home group. And today, the church won a great victory in this state where the state can no longer put different regulations on us than it does a cannabis dispensary, than it does a bar, than it does any other business. If they can be open, so can we. Woo! Come on, give God a big old praise. There was advocate groups working with them. But listen, the church is alive and well. And as long as the church is on the earth, it is still a city set on a hill for all the world to see. Its doors are the ancient gates, and they will stay open. And I say, open them up and let the King of Glory come in. Amen. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. Amen. Of which we all are. Hallelujah. All right, so tonight I want to teach. I want to teach you on what I call the seven eyes of faith for supernatural breakthrough. Some of you have already been doing these things, but we have a lot of new students and a lot of new people coming in. And I want to teach you some things that I have learned. Some of this I got from a Kenneth Copeland blog. I love those Word of Faith ministers, you know, that tribe, because they just are contenders for the faith that has been once and delivered to the church once and for all. And so I want to talk to you about how I have over the years, and all this rings true with me, and gotten breakthrough in my life, in finances, in health, in family. And in addition to releasing faith in terms of battle seeds and declaring, there's things that we must do personally. You know that your personal declaration is so powerful. It is. And so how many of you are standing in faith right now for finances? All right. Some of you, it's for healing. I know that we have many watching around the world that have emailed us and said they're believing God for healing. And I talked to one of our members, Angelo, you know, and he said, I don't want to give reports right now. I just want everyone who knows us to thank God. Don't say anything else. Just thank God every day for Judy's healing. Because we got to keep our mouth in alignment. Some people are believing for their spouse to have a breakthrough in their marriage. They're believing for children. They're believing for ministry. And they're standing in faith. And I want you to know this, standing in faith. I did a whole thing last year, all the way through Pastor Rick's illness, a journal that I put out to the whole world called Faith for Today, and I wrote a series called Faith It. And boy, I'm telling you that my faith had been forged in the fire long before that event occurred. And I look at you, Miss Ann, tonight, sitting here, all healed up, and what you went through last year, battling cancer and here in remission and doing well, and just all of the faith that's collective in this room. And I'm so proud of this house, because what we see here is that true faith is not for the faint of heart. It's really not. It will test your resolve. And that's why God tells us to break out the spiritual armor. Hello? We cannot forget about that. We cannot get too soft and sort of pansy-like in our faith. Because if you're going to get breakthrough, you've got to have some resolve. Amen? We're to break out the armor. We're to use God's authority without abandon. You got to understand, God has given you His authority. And you must persevere until the breakthrough comes. You know, think about that. Authority, that's a battle term. Armor, that's a battle term, right? And we can give God praise in the middle of it all. Why? Because Jesus has already won. I love this song tonight. He's already won. We serve a victor. And we are fighting a defeated foe, right? And many times we give Him more credit than He deserves. He is a defeated loser. He's lost. He will never win. He doesn't ever get a chance for a comeback. It's done. It's sealed. His doom, his fate was sealed at the cross. And he's just waiting for the casting of him into hell forever. And he's loose right now with his little foot soldiers, but they can't win unless you let them. Amen. So when you're going after something in the spiritual realm, because that's what we have to do. We have to go after what we want. We have to go into the spiritual realm with the authority and with the victor's crown, with our armor on, and we've got to get it. And how do we get anything out of the spiritual realm and into our life? How do we get what we're believing for to manifest by faith? So I'm going to teach you some things tonight about how to activate warrior faith. You personally, Pastor Verna can pray, Mama Didi can pray. There's many people that can get in agreement with you and pray, but it's your faith that is needed. Amen? So the first I of breakthrough faith is I believe. Say this, I believe. In Mark 11, 24, Jesus said, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, what does it say? Believe. Does it say just talk about it? No, we are to say it, but many people say it, but they don't believe it. You cannot be double-minded, right? He says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours, right? You got to believe it when you ask for it. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but saying I believe is a declaration of faith. And it's got to come from your heart. It's got to come from your spirit. And you can do it. God put faith in you. He put a measure of faith in you. And it's not any, just any faith. It's his faith. You know that we have the faith of God? We literally have the faith of God. That's why he said you don't only, it's just the size of a mustard seed. You don't need very much of it. You just need to activate it. And many people have asked me, should I say I believe before I see it or before I receive it? And I said, yeah. You say you receive it before you receive it. Us that have walked with the Lord know that. We are to believe it and we are to receive it before it comes to pass. Now, that's real faith. Many people say, I believe it when I see it. And that's nothing more than skepticism, fueled by doubt, right? And that's dangerous because the Bible says that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways and should not think he will receive anything from God. That's in James, James 1, 7 through 8. So we don't say, I believe, and then turn around and talk the problem. As many people say, oh, Lord, I believe and I receive it. And then they go right out and start talking about the problem. What I've learned to do is I recognize the problem, but I start talking about the solution. I start talking about my promise. I start talking about it as if it's already here. Right? And when you start doing that, the devil is going to say this. You'll never get what you want. It's too late. Just accept things as they are. You can't let that keep going on, right? And one of the things I've learned about the Lord is his promises don't manifest as fast as I want them to. Why are y'all laughing? Right? You have to stand on the word. And when you get weak, because we all do, you've got to stand on the word. That's what Jesus did. He taught us in his weakened state how to win against the enemy. And how did he do it? By speaking the word. He said, as the scriptures say. The devil's coming and telling him, you know, give into your flesh. You can do whatever you want. He wanted him to even use his authority to disobey God and to abort his mission on the earth. And Jesus responds to him with the word of God. So whatever you're believing for in this season, make sure you have some word, and that anytime the feeling of doubt, like it's not going to happen, it's not going to work, you go, where is God's word? I hear what the enemy's word is. I can hear what he's saying to my spirit, but what does God say? And you say it, I don't care if you're crying, if you're sad, if you feel like you know you're broke, if you just got hit, I don't care what it is. You start talking the word of God. Let that come out of your mouth. And you tell the Lord, I believe your word above my feelings. I believe your word above what the bank is saying right now. I believe your word above what my family is saying right now. I believe your word above what the economists are saying. I believe your word no matter what, Lord. I believe. Come on, say it. I believe. So that's the first one. The second one is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, we know that there are some things that we just can't do. You know that God is never going to ask you to do something that's outside of your ability and his strength. Okay? He's not going to. He's not. If you don't know how to, do something, he's not going to ask you to do something that's outside of your ability and his strength. If he wants you to do it, he'll gift you or give you the ability to do it. Amen? So don't sit there and think, I'm going to, I can't even think of something right now. But, there's things you can't do, and you know you can't do it. But if God calls you to it, he'll equip you for it, and you can do it, right? And if he's given you a promise in the Word, you can do it. Like, I was in calculus in high school, and I couldn't do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that was not my area of giftedness. And I even prayed, God, help me solve these problems and come up with solutions. And it just didn't happen. And I was saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I was bombing on the test. There's just some things that logically we're not gifted to do. But when God puts you in an area or he gives you his word on it, you can do it because your ability and his strength causes you to be able to do the things that you couldn't do. Amen? So you have to have that I can mentality. And I read the Passion Translation scripture to you, and I want to read it again. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. But I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. So he's talking about difficulty here. And there's been times we found ourselves in difficulty and we feel like, I can't do this. How many of you have heard someone say, I just can't, I can't? That's a thing these days. Like, I just can't. I can't with you. I can't with this. And it's like a slang saying. And we've adopted this I can't mentality. And that's not what God wants us to say. We are empowered people. And when difficulty comes, we know how to master it because we have the master of heaven and earth on the inside of us, and he will always give us the strength to get through it, not only to go through it, but to grow through it, to become stronger through it, to become wiser through it, whatever it is, to become more prosperous through it. You are always going to come out better than the person who doesn't have the strength of the Lord in every situation. Amen. So that is how we, many times how we get our breakthrough is saying, I believe in your word and I'm going to stand on your word and I can. Where other people are saying I can't and they're falling off and they're giving up. God didn't put a quitter spirit in you. He put a winner spirit in you. And if you will just believe that you can, that you will be able to master that difficulty, God is going to show up in the weakest time of your life. Paul said, in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. There's something about your weakness that attracts the power of God, especially to a person of faith. And this is something I've learned, because at my weakest point, I did things only God inside of me could have helped me do. And some of you are nodding because you know what I mean. The third I is I will. Say this, I will. I will. In Isaiah 119 in the ESV, it says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. So believing is only the beginning. If you're going to get a breakthrough, you also need to make the decision to say this third eye of faith, I will. Because God gave you a will. Amen? And this declaration, what it does is it brings your will in alignment with your faith. It's deciding to take a stand and break through every hindrance and win. And when you say, I will, you're saying this, I will have faith in God. I will believe his word. I will pursue faith and receive every promise he has for me. I will refuse to give up until I see my supernatural breakthrough. I will. I always say that. That When you say I will, that is the strongest assertion that can be made in the English language, in any language. Because God gave every single one of us a will. And so God wants to do things, but we have to will it to be in our life because love doesn't force anything on us. And in fact, a healthy relationship can only exist where free will exists. Right? Because otherwise you're coerced and you're forced and you're controlled. So that's not healthy. And we serve a God that doesn't operate in toxicity. He's love. He's love. And he gave you a personal will. He doesn't want you to be destroyed. He doesn't want you to live a life of destruction, right? In fact, God is willing that all are saved. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But not everyone is saved. But God's willing. In fact, he's not willing that any of them should perish. And until their will comes in alignment with God's will, they will not be saved. And that has to happen when they activate faith and say, I believe you died on the cross to save me. Amen? And I can serve God. I can through Christ, who's going to give me the strength. Looking at salvation and serving God and being a Christian on the outside looking in, it looks almost impossible, right? But then you surrender your heart to the Lord and all of a sudden his power comes alive inside of you and you find yourself doing the things that you thought you'd never be able to do without him. That's just how it works, right? And so we find ourselves willing to leave old habits behind where before, you know, we tried and we kept falling back into it. I know I'm speaking to that because that was me. I was trying to will it to be, just willpower it, right? But when I align my will with God's will, he gave me his strength. Now all of a sudden I started breaking through old cycles of defeat and addiction and all kinds of things. Why? Because I said, I will. I will. Not I will without God, but I will, my will, to come in alignment with the will of God. And that's when the breakthrough started to happen. All right, so the fourth one, the fourth I is this. I take it. Come on, somebody say, I take it. Back to that Mark 11:24 scripture. It says, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have what? So we've already said, I believe. But you got to believe that you have received it. That you have received it, past tense. Not you're gonna. Not you're gonna receive it. You already got it. You can't already have it if you didn't take it. Somebody say, I take it. You got to take it. Right? You got to expect that what you received by faith, even though it hasn't manifested yet, is already yours. That's Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things what? Hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So you got to get used to having it before you see it. Because you took it. Say it again, I take it. The Greek word for receive is lambano, which means this, to take with the hand, to lay hold of, or to take in order to carry away. You got to get a hold of it, right? You got to get a hold of your healing. You got to get a hold of that new job or that promotion or whatever it is you're believing God for, your prosperity. God said this, a righteous person will live by what? Does anybody know? You will live by what? Faith. You live by it. And faith is the title deed. It's the title deed to what you have believed for. You know that house I live in? I already had the title deed right here in my heart, down in my spirit. It was mine. I went, stood on the property and said, I receive it. It's mine by faith. And on the day that I posted that they took our offer, which that house fell $100,000. It was overpriced, but it fell $100,000, and they took our offer, and that was as much as we could muster. And Mark Hammond from Celebration Center, who is a real estate agent, called me on the phone, and he said, Pastor Verna, there was another couple that had a cash offer on the table, and the owners was going to take their offer, and they were going to walk the house one more time. And he said, they're believers, and the husband is very prophetic, and the wife wanted this house, but she wanted to obey God, and they had prayed about it. And the husband gets in there, and he says this, if we buy this house, we're going to be disobedient to God, because he's telling me in my spirit, this house belongs to someone else. My name was already on the title deed. Yes? Because I walked over. I mean, I went over there. I pulled up at the community mailbox, you know, and acted like I was getting my mail, because the mailbox sits right about that far onto the property. And I'm standing on the property going, I receive it. I take it in the name of Jesus. It's mine. And I live in that house today. And I love that house. Amen? And so God's word also says, have faith in God. How often? Constantly. Somebody say, I have faith in God? Constantly. We also know that it's impossible to please God without faith. So as far as God is concerned, faith is not like an a la carte, you know, take it once in a while when I need it, pull it off the shelf. No, faith is something we live by. You get up in the morning, you need to say, God, I have faith in you. You know what I say first thing when I get up in the morning? Good morning, devil. Yeah, it's a good morning for me, but not for you. Lord, fill me with the Spirit of God today. And I say, I love you, Jesus. You are my honey man. And I trust you. Yeah. If you're my neighbor, you'll hear it. Used to say it to Pastor Rick, but he was my honey man. But you know what? Jesus has always been my number one, right? And I tell him every day, I trust you. I love you. Whatever you want to do today, you just let me know, and I'll do whatever you want me to do. Not my will, but thine be done. Amen? Because I will. I will my will to come into alignment with yours. So it's important to God that we stay in faith and that we say to him daily, I believe. I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. I take it. I take it. Now, this fifth one is this. I have it. Say this. I have it. Mark 11:23, the verse before, says, whoever does not doubt in his heart but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. See that? But believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. So once again, you got to take it in the spirit realm before you see it in the natural realm. Right? The definition of the word have in English is this, to own it. So you could say, I have it or I own it. Say, I own it. I own it. Man, back in the day, I was driving an old, like, hoopty. I won't even tell you what kind of car it was. It was a hoopty-doo. Hoopty-doo. And I went to work for the Cadillac dealership. So, you know, Cadillacs are kind of like, you know, they're like ghetto Rolls Royce, you know, whatever. Anyways. But I went to work for Cadillac. And I love Cadillacs. And I used to say, I have an Escalade. I have it. I own an Escalade. I always wanted an Escalade. And so today, guess what I have? I have an Escalade. Yes? Whatever it is you are believing for, I want you to say that. I take it. I have it. Amen? You have what you say. That's what Mark 11:23 says. It says, you have what you say. And it pains me when I hear people say, I have a cold. I'm having financial trouble. I'm having marital problems. I have crazy kids. I have, why y'all laughing? We got to watch what we say, right? Because the Bible says you have what you say. So I had to even correct myself when these things are coming at me, and I say this now, I am battling a cold. It does not have me. I have healing. Amen. If something's going on financially, you know what I say? I have provision. I have more than enough because my Father is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God, the many-breasted one who nourishes me. His name is more than enough. And because I am an heir with King Jesus, I don't live in lack. I never will. He owns it all. He has treasures that the enemy knows not of, and he'll dig it up right when I need it and make sure he hands it over to me. I have strong relationships. I have children who love and honor the Lord. Man, I had to start saying that when those little children were saying other things. And I said, oh, you child of God who loveth the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. You little preacher, you little prophet. Look at all these prophets and preachers and warriors around here that I have. They're amazing. They're like, Mom, you're crazy. I said, I brought you into this life and I can take you out. But right now I have a whole house full of God-honoring people. In the name of Jesus. They'd ask me to do something that was totally wrong. And I say, you need to go in your bedroom and talk to Jesus. Come back and tell me what he said. They could not come and say, Jesus said I could do it. Mom, but Mom, we need to teach our children to talk to the Lord, right? He's never going to grant their ungodly requests. I began to tell the Lord, I have these things. So that's number five. You need to make sure that when you say, I have something, that you have what you're believing for in your mouth, not what the devil is trying to give to you. You do not take possession of the devil's stuff. All right? Number six, we're going to go fast. I thank you for it. Say it. I thank you for it. Gratitude is a very important part of our faith. It's proof of faith. And Paul said this to the Philippians. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And he said, just present them and then you'll have it. Right? And his peace will garrison your heart. So make the prayer request. Believe that you have it. Receive it. Take it, thank God for it, and then the final one is this, I forgive. And you know, I should have started with that one. I should have started with I forgive. Come on, say, I forgive. I hear people all the time, I just can't forgive. Well, you need to go back to number two. I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. Amen? We get all twisted up. I just can't. I can't. Yes, you can. God will strengthen you to forgive yourself, to forgive your enemies, to forgive whoever, whenever. And if you say, I have no one to forgive, you're lying. You need to go back and say, I can. Stop lying. I will. Amen? We need to say, Lord, show me if there's anyone in my life where I have not truly forgiven them. And here's why. Because faith, the Bible says in Galatians 5:6, and there's a King James Version one in here, and I just like one every now and then just to make sure I'm still saved. Faith worketh. It worketh by love. Think about that. So you're standing at the door where your breakthrough is about to take place. And you've got the key to unlock that door, and everything that you've been believing for is behind that door. And the key is forgiveness. The door works, the latch, everything only works by love. And you cannot operate in unforgiveness and love at the same time. And your faith, which is going to open that door, faith is the doorknob. Love and unforgiveness, or love and forgiveness is the key, right? That opens it. That's how the faith works. It's got to have the key put in, and then you've got to turn it with your faith. Amen? And so, many times we're believing and we're saying, I have it, I take it, I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. I believe, but we have an unforgiving heart. And faith will not work in an unforgiving heart because it blocks our forgiveness. There's all kinds of scripture. Mark 11:25 says unforgiveness blocks our own forgiveness. Unforgiveness takes us out of love. Unforgiveness is a prayer blocker. Unforgiveness is disobedience. Amen? And so I have learned, and I say this, and it's been a while since I've said it, but I want you to say it with me. I forgive everyone for everything every day before the sun goes down. Say it again. I forgive everyone for everything every day before the sun goes down. See, you do not want to carry anything into the next day because then it gets strengthened. Yes? That's why the Lord said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Be angry and sin not. The Lord does not fault us for getting mad or feeling angry. Sometimes we, you know, there's things that happen that are just such an injustice and so offensive that it is infuriating. And we get indignant about it. But we're not to let it lead us into sin or cause us to get into sin. And the moment that we lock into it and we hold it and we harbor it, and now it starts to become a grudge, we have taken the bait of Satan, and he has literally stripped us of our ability to get breakthrough. I heard a good amen back there. And I want you to know that forgiveness is not optional if you want faith to work in your life. I can give you this list. I believe I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. I will. I take it. I have it. I praise you for it. And if I can give you that whole thing, but if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it won't work. Sarah, you can join me, honey. I'm done. Tonight, that was just a simple, truthful message. And I want you to think about that. Listen, I try to always make sure that I pray for my enemies. I release blessing over them. I have such revelation about that. You know, God's mercy toward me, I didn't deserve it. He gave it to me. And anytime I hold a debt against anyone else, my debts are still against me. You know, that's why Jesus said, pray like this, you know, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us this day, you know, of our trespasses. And we, as we forgive those that have trespassed against us, give us our daily bread and all that. But within that Lord's Prayer is that cleansing of, you know, forgive me of my trespasses as I forgive those that have trespassed against me. So think about that. Forgive me of my trespasses as. And if you don't forgive them of their trespasses, then what happens? He can't forgive you of yours. It's only, you get the same amount of forgiveness as you give away. And the Lord put that in there. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, right? So every day there's going to be temptation. Every day there's probably going to be offense. This was a daily prayer that the Lord taught his disciples. Pray like this. There's so much revelation within the Lord's Prayer. It's not just a formal, like, you know, thing that we just recite. But there's praise and worship in there. There's adoration. There's humility. There's repentance. There's petition. There's all these things in there. And then he ends with, you know, for thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. We start with acknowledging him and we end with acknowledging him. But I'm telling you that these declarations that I've given to you tonight have worked in my life. The gospel is simple. We become saved by faith in Christ. We're saved by grace, not by our works, lest any man should boast. So we have to activate faith in what Christ did at the cross. We believe, therefore we're saved. We open our mouth and we declare that we believe. But we also need to be taught that we live by faith. We don't just enter the kingdom by faith. We live by faith every single day. And the enemy is warring against the very thing that God gave to us to get every promise that he made to manifest in our life. It's not like his promises aren't good or, you know, something's wrong with his end. There's nothing wrong with his end. When our mouth, our will, our mind, and, you know, our actions all come in alignment, I'm telling you, miracles are going to manifest. Say it. It's my breakthrough season. I believe I can do all things through Christ who is my strength. I have it. I take it. I thank you for it. And I forgive. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go ahead, stand to your feet. Give God a big praise. I expect you guys are going to see all kinds of breakthrough in your families. Listen, I never want to end a service without giving people an opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You need to make him Lord. And, you know, it's only by the work of the Holy Spirit that anyone comes to the Lord. And sometimes I'm surprised. You know, we come in on a Wednesday night. Seems kind of routine for us. And, you know, we should always be believing that people are going to receive Jesus. But I'm sometimes surprised when I talk to people about how they came to know the Lord. And many times it's just in this most unusual, kind of very ordinary time of their life. And they hear a message or someone asks them to pray the sinner's prayer. And they pray and they get radically saved. So we should never, ever underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit to save a lost soul. Amen? And it may be our closing prayer, but it's the most important thing in the universe. Because Jesus said he didn't come for the well, he came for the sick, and he came for the lost. And you can't activate faith and see miracles manifest, you know, without Jesus. Because he needs to put his faith inside of you. And you do that just by praying a prayer of faith and receiving him as Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I make you my Lord and Savior. Fill me with your spirit. I know I will never be the same. In Jesus' name. Listen, believe. Believe for the big things. And this week, anytime the enemy tells you what you have, make sure that what you say you have is what you really want. In Jesus' name, amen. I see you guys on Sunday.
Well, we'd like to thank you for joining us today. Thanks to those who give generously to this ministry. It's because of you that makes this ministry possible. You can click the link below in the description box to give now or visit soulharvestwc.org/podcast for more information. If you've enjoyed this podcast, you can subscribe. You could also share with your friends, click the share button, take a screenshot, and also share in your social media stories and tag us at SoulHarvestWC. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.